Welcome.
Hello.
Howdy.
Ah, that's better.
So we're talking about the many events that are going to be held around Mount Gambier on the weekend, and Dave was just explaining actually events and event stacking and what the legitimacy of those rules are.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember from GroundSpec's website, but I think it says something around that obviously you can't have events at the same location within a short period of time. Oh, never mind that. And the other one was, yeah, either if the events are at different locations, whether they're for the same target audience, same group of people. And those guidelines were more about if you had like a camping weekend and then you'd have an event on the Saturday, an event on the Sunday, and an event on the Monday, which of course would be the same group of people. So I think what's happening this weekend is totally within the rules, because I think there's stuff at Mount Gambier, there's stuff at Millicent. There's
stuff at Millicent. Three at Mount Gambier.
Three at Mount Gambier. Oh, is it three at Mount Gambier?
One on the outskirts of Mount Gambier.
Yeah, one's at Ewan Ponds.
And one at...
That might be stretching it a bit there.
But they're all different people. There's one GeoVenture, one Freddo, and one Gridge.
So. Oh, gee, I think they're lucky to get away with that then. But there. Because what's the other one? There's Meningi.
One at Meningi and one at Millicent.
And there's one, isn't there one in a conservation
park?
Yeah,
place? Just out of Mount Gambier.
Yeah,
that's the one out of
Mount Gambier. Ewan Ponds, yeah.
So
you think SAGO5 is making some interesting decisions at the moment?
Oh, why is it? Oh, no, I don't know.
I'll be happy as long as the event actually happens and doesn't get cancelled.
Yeah, see, I'm betting my money that history has told us that there's a high likelihood for it to get cancelled than it to be held.
You better not, because I'm going to that one. That's the only one I can make, because I've got to work on the weekend, but I don't work on the Monday.
You're going to drive to Millicent.
And that's the only one. Not Millicent. The one at Meningi.
Because
that's not very far away. Well, that's all right. I'll still claim it anyway, because I'll be there at the time the event's
published. Well, I'll say hi to you when I come past it.
And based on previous experiences from other people who should remain anonymous, we'll take a photo of myself at GZ near a landmark and say, I am here at the right time.
All you need to do, TARDIS Trio, is... even if the next time you go to Mount Gambier, the next 4 months sort of thing, and then once you go through Meningi, take a photo and say, well, I was here.
we'll buy some little plastic cubes or something and sync all these different watches which display the date and the time.
Just go on Google.
Time and date stamps.
Logcast needs to actually go on the road, you know, like...
I was going to take it to the Geelong weekend, but that would have been event stacking.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's on topic, isn't it?
That's an interesting, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can see their point of view. If you read the guidelines, it is for the same audience as June Long Weekend, so that classifies as event stacking.
But surely all that, though, like, all the event, yeah, like, the 3 or 4...
on that anyway.
Exactly.
What they're doing there.
But I don't really have to make it an event.
No. I think that'd be good.
Attend the event.
That's what that guy at the Mega does.
I think it'd be really good to do this at the Long Weekend, because you've got a big group of people, and I reckon you get some great stories.
Hello. Greetings, audience.
Speaking of great stories,
the frog has arrived.
The great stories have just walked in the door. What do you know?
Now that one's for you.
Oh, that should be small enough.
That should be fine. You just got to pay them. That's for you.
Drug money.
Drugs.
Frog bearing gifts.
All right. So you want me to give these a quick spray paint?
Can if you want.
All right.
Was that it used to be you were thinking of?
Where was that?
It's not far from Red Poles in McLaren Vale. Or McLaren Flat. It's probably McLaren Flat.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
I've already done my used to be's
for this week. Yeah, that's another little chapter that's turned into a winery. I thought that was the one you sent me.
Nah, the one I sent you was the McLaren Vale in the actual township itself.
That one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
What are you doing breeding Fleur Living?
Oh, I was sitting there waiting for my hamburger to arrive, and that was the only thing that was free that I could
buy. So you nicked the book, because you were like, this is imported geocaching material.
No one else wants it, I'll dispose of it for them.
And then I had to work out where that was.
Oh, you know why this cache went missing, don't you?
Why?
Lake's empty.
Oh, lake's empty?
Yeah, it's been drained.
How often do they do that? They must
I don't know, but I reckon some muggle would have just gone and got it because now the lake's empty. Oh, you're still going to be in.
What do they clean?
6 inches of water.
Oh,
that's right.
They must
clean
that twice a year.
4 inches of mud or something.
Oh, it's not too bad.
No,
it's not very muddy.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because
yeah.
They never actually.
It's, they put plastic underneath it. Like
yeah.
Big,
yeah, it's got a plastic
this
sheet.
This is a case that may or may not be in Rival Park Lake in Adelaide. Yeah. can't say too much.
What? It's a fairly, it's a really difficult puzzle.
It is. It's a one star.
Until you find
it's a
that.
Genuine one star puzzle. Not like. Other things.
I don't know if you know about the website that does it for you.
Yeah. Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Somebody complained about one of my one star puzzles being difficult.
Which one?
I complained.
Yeah, that fishy one, that's ridiculous.
that
oh, that's awesome. That's one of my favourite puzzles.
That's about a half a difficulty.
I complained about your umlaut. That was like 1.5, and I think you've now appropriately regraded it to 3, 3.5 or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's probably about right. Umlauts. The unnecessary umlaut.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't remember that one.
That's the one where you got to find
about 10 paragraphs of crap that was not needed.
yeah, red herrings add stars.
Need a difficulty rating similar to the terrain ratings, you know, with the business of you need sand shoes and hiking poles.
They do have that on the website.
Friend.
It is on the guidelines. So a one-star difficulty should take a couple of minutes to solve or find. And then it says 1.5 is like 5 to 10 minutes. 2-star, they actually do have.
Hence, do you know Fredo or do you not know Fredo? There's two different.
Yeah, that could. So the way they've done it is more in time to solve or time to find.
That's right. Yeah, it's a time commitment versus a.
Cithron used to do it on the basis of if it was a penny drop with him, that was a 3 difficulty. So if all that had to happen was you had to work out what that, like blue.
Yeah, I love blue.
Yeah.
Is that still gone or is that still active?
Got no idea. But blue's just when you work out that the colours mean something, it's the RGB values of the colours.
The blue value,
it just falls out.
Okay, interesting.
But it's a penny drop one. It's like when that does happens. There's very little work after that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work. You know, bomb the chicken to try and work out which digit the last was supposed to be because it's been fudged by the JPEG.
Yeah, well, the JPEGs didn't help.
I never got
the original version of it was a bitmap.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it
so
was
it's true colours.
Yeah, and he actually realised that was too easy. So that's when the JPEG appeared. And there was noise in the JPEG. I spent about three man days. Investigating the noise in the jail.
I just assumed it when I worked it out, it was near that park, which we won't say where it is, and I just said, yeah, it's got to be there somewhere.
Oh, you went looking for it.
And I just, I must have been pretty close because I found it.
Yeah, then after I found it, I went.
Whereas something like a cipher, he would call a 4 or 5 depending on how much work you had to do.
Yeah. It's interesting the two types. So one is sort of like thinking outside the square / penny drop / a new code that you may not know. Or
if you have to pull the pencil out of the and start writing things down, that always pushed the difficulty up as far as he was concerned.
Who uses a pencil?
Yeah.
maybe you might have to erase.
I do everything on the computer.
What about Ripple and Uber Ripple? I wore through bits of paper doing
those. I don't know. Well, yeah.
I wrote code to do that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which one?
Oh, no.
I don't know if I will reveal some of my puzzle solving secrets, but I have a program that I found that solves
those. You found someone else's program, okay.
Yeah, I found someone else's program that also solves a lot of other puzzles. Like, lots of just...
Yeah, I did find a Ripple one, but...
But it did Uber Ripple. I just banged it in, waited...
No,
went,
I actually wore holes in bits of paper. Pencil, rubbing them out. Pencil.
I haven't gone and found that yet.
You know about computers, you can just type in the box and type backspace and put this different number there.
You can use notepad, you can use Excel.
Well, that's a skill set I don't have.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I can't speak French and I can't write computer codes.
But yet you know French Braille. So.
Yeah, you know French Braille.
But see, I can look up French Braille.
Yeah.
It's a fairly simple puzzle, that one.
Which one?
The French Braille one that's down near.
Well, it took me a long while for that paint to drop anyway.
Yeah. But there's lots of hints.
Let's go for it.
Fingers are the key.
Yeah, I knew it was Braille, but it didn't work.
Yeah, you just got to find the right Braille.
Oh, yeah. Is that like a
French Braille.
Oh, I was going to say, because there's like the US Braille as well, or something like that.
Yeah, there's a US Braille. But that Moon Braille was fairly obvious.
But, damn, do you know what? I saw the different types of Braille, and I'm like, I'm going to use that in a. And that puzzle bar, obviously, it's been done.
You know, I was that puzzle I did to make fun of your puzzle, I was that close to using French Braille.
just to stick it
that would have hurt.
Yeah.
That would have hurt. That would have
fluffed. But then I thought, oh, I wanted people to solve it. I didn't want it to be too hard. So I
just used ordinary Braille.
Well, that's why I smashed it all together. So you had to make the leap of faith that it was Braille, because all the dots at the bottom of the eye chart.
But Freddie is Spanish? Not French, is he?
Where?
Freddy.
That was normal, bro.
Freddy.
No, like actual Freddy.
Oh, I don't know what. No, Freddy just used his ordinary bro.
Yeah, I thought that was his bro.
Yeah,
that's the first step.
Yeah, it's in English.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, normal bro.
Yeah.
Normal bro. Step after you find the image.
There's nothing nasty about that.
We were just talking about event stacking or not down the southeast. I thought you guys had done really well.
Well, he got in first, so...
I think you've done really well. Well,
mine was first.
I was just amazed at how many he was okay with, because I would have thought there's a few around Mount Gambier getting a bit stacky.
Well...
I mean, I'm not complaining. I think it's great, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think they've actually...
toned it down a little bit.
Groundspeak have told them to flatten it out. They're not... I mean, you can create a power trail and you could do... Yeah... 100 caches in 2 hours. Yeah, what's wrong with doing an event?
We should push that, see how far we can go with it.
Well, we still wanted to do that 10 around North Adelaide.
Yeah,
a walking tour of North Adelaide.
But we did 10 in Adelaide, a whole lot, you know, from wherever it was, Tea Tree Gully down to Mount Barker or something that
weekend. Yeah, we've done that twice.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we've done that. You did it last year with Phil Wise.
And you were part of it too, and good looking.
Yeah.
And a few others.
And I had an event in the bakery, and yours was less than 3 kilometres away.
We had some of them, one of them was in the city, and one was at Mount Barker, and one was at Langon Creek, I think.
Yeah.
They're all over the place, but they're all on the same weekend. But we could push them close together and see.
Oh, that's right.
I remember that. Sounds expensive and fattening.
Sounds brilliant.
Go somewhere, buy a coffee, go somewhere, buy a cake.
Well, we finish at the bakery with donuts.
The original one that we tried to do was 10 in a day.
Mm.
So start in the morning at somewhere in North Adelaide.
But that was 10 in a day in one suburb.
In one suburb. And then you would actually walk your way around North Adelaide and you would end up back at the Kentish Arms Hotel where your cars were parked and been parked all day. And you would have gone to 10 events. And they'd all be different things. So one of them was your 5,000, I reckon.
Oh,
that was... Yeah, I remember that. Well, you know, I got questioned over that. When I packaged it, and it was like...
Yours was the last that got
mine
published.
I was the sacrificial lamb.
You got through.
But mine was the most legit, though.
Yeah.
It was my 5,000. Yeah.
But they didn't get that through in the end, didn't they? They just had to spread it over 2 days.
Well, you had to spread it over 2 days.
Basically,
we spread it over 3 days.
So what? So you left your cars there, and then you kept walking, then you just slept at a pub one night, and then you.
Yeah, no, yeah. It didn't work the way we wanted it.
Well,
we started off with a quiz event, a puzzle solving event, and then he published that one, and then the next one was an hour later, which was a Finsker event. At the playground the Glover playground there. So we've done was move 300 metres if that.
Yeah.
And then your one wasn't till 2, so then
mine was in the afternoon.
Then we all went home, had lunch, and then came back for yours, and then we had one.
How did we end up getting? We didn't get.
And then
10.
We ended up in at Colonel White statue
over
at sunset.
2 days.
Yeah, okay.
Was it over 2 days? So that was the 4 in the day.
What year
and
was
then
that?
The next day we had
2015. You did it the first time I went to Europe. So
we had one at the beach.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And then I reckon there was. I can't remember the other one. And then I had a one in Wellington Square, which was how to hide a cache.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And I got away.
So caches. So it doesn't matter if it's multiple users or.
No, he said they were all too tight an area and the timings. He wanted separation in time and distance.
It's funny actually because as you said, Fredo, because like about the whole, I mean, you know, 100 in 2 hours, say, because I was thinking that I'm like, geez, you know, you spend half hour going to an event for one fine. If you're really chasing statistics, mind you, Yeah, half hour, hour, five. Or you just go and you can do like probably collect three or four, five around in the suburb. So
where's the problem?
Well, yeah,
you go to these events, is a cache pops up while you're there and you get two fines.
Yeah. If the reviewer actually publishes it when he's supposed to, not.
Was he late on that one?
Yeah, again.
And it'd be nice enough to say.
Funny about that.
And say, Dave, you need to stay there for another 5 minutes before you go. Because
I couldn't do that.
Telling me there was a cache there.
Well, poor old Andy had caught the bus there, and she left as well.
So she wasn't there.
She wasn't there. When it got published, she was on the bus.
Because this is the second time he's put a cache at the event.
Yeah,
and this one came out an hour late. So.
Oh, I thought it was like a minute after the event ended.
No. Well, it was, but it was meant to be. Was meant to be published at 9:30.
Yeah.
I asked for 9:30, which was when the event started.
Yeah.
On the basis that most there'll be people there before.
Yeah.
And that'll capture the ones that are there on time.
Yeah. As a reward for.
And anybody that comes in afterwards will get a fine.
Well, Dr. Al left at about 9:30.
Yeah.
Took off. So.
They were gone. I reckon they stayed until about 9:31. So if he published it at 9:30, they would have got it.
If they noticed it.
And then the other one he published 12 hours early.
Oh.
Yeah, that was probably...
So the one at Village...
That's probably a typo. When you put it in the system, you probably put the wrong time.
I actually looked at my...
It's an AM/PM problem, surely.
Yeah, my message said 6 p.m. And I was really clear with this one at 9:30.
That's just saying, when he put it in there, he might have typoed it and got it 12 hours out.
This sounds like a daylight saving issue, though, this one, though. Or
yeah, it does, isn't it?
That's actually true, because you know how you export events and they always come up half hour. I don't know if you guys, I always export every geocaching event in Outlook, that's my diary, and they always come up half hour or hour different to the actual time, so I always have to keep adjusting it, sort of thing. I reckon it's a daylight savings issue,
so I handle them
in the system.
I create a meeting. What, a meeting or an appointment?
Yeah, whatever.
Appointment.
Same. Yeah. But you know, you can export it, and it's good because it actually brings up obviously all the description and all the comments and that sort of thing.
Does the times end up in the GPX folder there?
Oh, so I export, because on the geocaching page you can export it, and it's an ICS format.
Yep.
So it's in Outlook or meeting,
But it's
format.
Half an hour wrong.
Yeah, but it's always half hour wrong, so I always have to keep it just in time. And it's funny actually, because from our Port Augusta event, I forgot to actually do the adjustment sort of thing. So we came up, like, crap, we're going to be late. And because Jess is like, oh, it's at 12. I'm like, no, it's at 12:30.
Well, Connor shows up a day early, so you know, half hour late is nothing.
Yeah.
That's manageable.
So anyway, but yeah, so. Maybe there is some, some innocence there, sort of thing, which,
I don't know. Well, it's weird that I asked for it twice, and twice he manages to stuff it up.
The moral of this story is future events is look for a cache
when you get there. Good luck. Because was sitting on it
the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She leaned over and put her hand out. Oh, there it is.
It was like at the GIF. Fredo, we need to do one of those. You know those sort of the quiz nights, how everyone feels under their chair to get the lucky.
They've done
that
during the weekend a couple times already.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Have they? I reckon they have at the dinner.
Yeah, the dinner.
Yeah. It was a few years ago now, but
and it's pretty random because people just sit down. Yeah, you put it under a chair. You don't know who ends up on that chair. It's very random. Opening of the Olympics in Sydney. Under everybody's chair in the stadium.
Oh, really?
Was a pack.
Fuck.
So you know when they were waving the lights.
Yeah.
That came from under. Oh. The reason everybody had one was that it was under your chair.
Oh, that was smart.
There was a
hell of a job to go put them all out.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah. Massive job. So. Put out 100,000 of those.
That was 2000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's the year geocaching started.
Yeah.
There you go.
There was already geocaches out when the Olympics started.
Yeah, well, because it was May.
No,
May 2000.
Yeah, in August.
No, I'm talking geocaching was
May.
And the Olympics were later in the year.
So Lane Cove was already sitting there waiting. Probably even a traditional at the time. In its previous life.
I haven't gone and got that one yet. That's on my to-do list, Lane Cove.
Yeah,
which is the oldest Australian geocache.
Yeah, that was my 2000s.
Which is now virtual, is that right?
In postcode 2000.
Oh, really?
Oh. It got changed to a virtual, didn't it? Because it wasn't
physical.
It
was only,
it was only a physical for 2006 months.
Oh, really?
Oh.
In fact,
I was going to get a most favoured.
Well, it might have been longer than that. You'd have to look at the timeline of it, but it was in
a sensitive area, wasn't it?
Was it
in the national park?
Yeah, so it was in a sensitive area, so the park complained about there being a physical box there. So Grouse Peak offered them a virtual on the basis that people didn't have to go to the exact spot where the thing was.
Mm.
And what do people do?
Go to the exact spot.
Go to the exact spot. So it's just, it's completely dumb.
Yeah. Oh, well. I tell you what, though.
Should have asked for it to be archived.
Yeah. I still think... how awesome would it be to get that that first South Australian one, like somehow unarchived or recalled? Sandy Creek. Yeah.
Because what the one oldest one now in this state? That's the Riverland one.
It's a big
Riverland geocache.
The big Riverland one.
Where's that?
That's in Lirrup.
In where?
Lirrup.
Lirrup.
Lirrup on the
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You can walk. Couple hundred metres walk from there on?
Yeah, not far.
No, it's not far. That's 100, I think, isn't it?
100 metres from a track.
It's not, and
it's a two-wheel drive track. It's not.
And it's
in the dry.
In the dry. I don't
know. If you're in the wet, you'll be sliding sideways into the bushes.
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
Engage
right.
Four-wheel drive. And,
oh, no, it's that.
Even in four-wheel drive, you go sliding into the bushes.
It's that horrible clay stuff.
No,
you just skate there in your car. Yeah, you'd just be...
It's like... the worst is like that black soil top sort of thing, because that you sort of skate because it sticks, and then you just lose any traction.
Yeah,
because when it's dry, you can see.
Is there a way to drive on that shit?
I don't know.
I reckon.
I just wait till it all dries up.
Yeah, I reckon with the right tires, I'm sure. But
I don't know. That's why the Victorians know how to do mud.
Mm. Oh, do they?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I need mud lessons from a Victorian, but they have no idea about sand.
So
Spook Crackers,
he
lives in fear of sand, because he said every time he goes anywhere near sand, he just gets bogged.
Do you know what, actually, so I just went on that the Uluru adventure with Jess sort of thing, and I was saying to her, like, actually the real soft sand, like, that spooks me, actually, because I just know that there's like high chance of getting bogged through it sort of thing, unless
just lower your tire
pressure. I know. Well, that's the lazy thing, actually. But we didn't have a compressor with us, sort of thing. Ooh. So obviously, then you're just relying on your next petrol station in the next town. So,
I reckon the worst sand I've found is actually Victoria, in Big Desert.
Big Desert.
We're on the edge of Big Desert.
Which sand's that?
Is it your Rainbow, or there's a little hill there, sandy hill you gotta drive up. First ridge, you go down into this valley that's just this big valley of soft sand.
Okay.
If you stop at the bottom, that's it. You're stuck there. So you gotta just power right through it at the other side of it.
Mm.
You barely get up the other side. Mm.
See, I reckon the dunes on the border track are as tough as anything. They're tough. There was
But then you just back down and have a go at it though. Just keep trying
but
you
get they're still tough. Whereas, like, we didn't stop on 1,000 dunes in the Simpson Desert.
Yeah, oh, right.
We didn't stop.
Oh, no problem.
No problem.
Got over.
Mm.
No. Yeah, whereas that big dune that you tried to get up, I didn't even look at. Yeah,
that was tough. It was really fun.
You can't get any momentum because
it's so soft and it's just inclines the whole time.
So it just sinks as you start climbing.
Yeah, that's right. And so you try and give it more thing, but then obviously starts burying sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's you damn yeah, and then obviously it's all really rough as guts as well, sort of thing. So.
So you got no inertia to get you up.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you do have inertia and your car's just like bumping everything and things are falling off, and I'm like, oh, I just go.
I haven't done that track yet, but I was planning to do that on a trail bike, like a road trail bike, and just ride it, because it'd be so easy.
Someone did that.
Bucketeer did it.
Yeah. He was a hell of a lot faster than us.
Yeah.
He was like 60 kilometres.
You get no weight on a bike. They weigh nothing.
60 kilometres takes you all day in a car with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
A bike,
he was end to the end. And
but wouldn't you just get stuck beyond someone eventually and...
Oh, he.
You have to sit there behind someone going slower after.
He ended up, he was in front, and so he just sort of. But then he just did a few and then just waited for us, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, but there's not one group there. There's another group, if you go in front of another group, you're not out there alone, are you?
He went off. When we were camped, he went off
back to his car.
I felt sorry for him for that, because it actually got dark. It started getting dark when he did, and then he went
he
back.
He waited until it was dark, yeah, because he didn't want to ride into the sunset.
Oh, that's right.
Because he knew that the track that he was going to be on was going
straight to the sun.
Straight into the western sun.
Oh, right.
So he actually waited until the sun hit the horizon, and then he disappeared, and I was like, oh. The next day, I'm sort of... No, there's no signs of Bucketeer sort of falling off, flying in the bush.
No bodies.
Yeah.
Actually, Connor and I, we passed him actually in the van, the octopus van, actually, on that highway.
On the highway coming back.
Yeah. So we're like, hey.
He's got rid of the octopus van.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's done all my Mount Gambier caches around the place, actually.
He hasn't replaced that bats in the bill for a year.
And he
turned up one day with all his gear and the cage, and it was so windy that he couldn't do it. And then he turned up another day with his gear to put it back, but didn't have the cage.
Oh no. I hadn't read that last update.
Have you done that one?
No, I'm just wishing that I was there when it
was when it was magically at the bottom.
This got that. And then Disc goes, oh, I found it on the bottom. Here it is.
Yeah.
Doesn't ring us all up.
Yeah, I know.
Drive to Mount Gambier 5 hours, get one cash.
So this one, Barnick, was it Bats in the Belfry?
Yeah.
And it's a really tall tree in Mount Gambier next to the Blue Lake sort of thing, or near enough. And obviously you need like arborist tree.
Equipment picker.
To basically get up there, and it's been up there for a number of years, but recently it must have just fell down or something like that, and someone found it on the ground, put their name in, and
I reckon
claimed
the first branch is about 20 meters off the ground, and it's on the branch above that, which is 22 meters off the ground.
Well, that's a bit high.
Right.
All chip in for a cherry picker rental.
Oh, cherry picker.
Get in there and park it there.
So I'm going down there early.
20 metres, that's a good reach.
Yeah. Well, every now and again, we had cherry pickers because we've got a Telstra tower behind us at work, and they had a 40 metre cherry picker there.
You wanted that one, did you?
Yeah. I'm saying, because it's a little, the ground's not entirely flat there. It's not steep, but I said, how much level can you?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And he said they can chock it up, and they've got big legs that come out the side. Mm. There's jacking points on those.
Yeah. How far is over sideways can they go though?
Until they fall over.
Until they fall over. Yeah.
Center of gravity is your.
Yeah. Mm. I imagine they have a lot of weight in the bottom bit, and not so much weight at the top bit. That way they can keep the center of gravity somewhere near the middle.
Still, when you're on the stick and they just wobble around, it's freaking scary.
We need to get Squeaky, he can do it. He's got the tree climbing spikes, the shoe, you know, the knives that go down the leg for free climbing a tree, arborists use. That's what they used to go up. So, you know, when they run the ropes, but they have the lightest, smallest person runs up the tree with the
chains hanging off his belt.
And then they're the ones that hook all the ropes up and stuff. So
they don't actually throw a rope into the tree.
Well, some do. It depends where you go. Some use like a slingshot to shoot the rope.
They're the ones that, because we did a tree climb. Like Fredo and I and the Bill and so forth, and then they did, who was it that did it?
He had a gun.
Yeah, he had like an
air-powered gun.
Yeah, it's like and it just like goes over, and then they like tie around the tree as an anchor point, and then you can obviously so. And I was just actually gonna say early November. Well, that's where I'm doing some cave descending sort of skill set sort of thing. So I've got half the gear, and I just need to get the slingshot thing to be able to do that. So
I like the air-powered gun. So it's got like a bead pillow in it.
And then
you pump it up with a bike pump or a compressor. And you can run it off like a fire tank.
And then
you just have a trigger.
It's probably more accurate.
The beauty of that is you can aim exactly where you want it to be.
That's true.
And you know how much is going to fall. Because you do need to get it over a
pretty
arch.
Solid. Mm.
Otherwise you're gonna.
Yeah, this guy that did my tree cutting, he actually had a proper slingshot to do that. So it was still a sack of lead pellets in a bag.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
Just gonna bang and just let it go. And so he's obviously done it more than once because he's pretty good at it. But he also had spike
shoes.
It's like a. It was more like a knife that comes down parallel with your leg. So it sort of sticks out past your shoe like a knife on each leg, and that just cuts in as you go up. So it actually just cuts in the tread.
And then they normally have two belts.
Yeah, that's right. They have a belt around their what, like a harness on, and a belt around the tree. So that's their top. Because all you got to do is lean back, and you won't go anywhere. And then they just sort of shimmy up. It's amazing to watch. Yeah. But this guy was little. He was like Squeaky. He was short and light,
strong.
And
they do it with a running chainsaw hanging off their belt too, don't they?
Yeah, they have a little chainsaw hanging on their belt, not a big one, but a little guy.
It's not running, though.
No.
Some of them do. I've seen some of them climb around with a thing just in idling, then next to the...
it wasn't on the side, but he has a little, like a little...
Where's the OHNS in this?
This was probably about 8 years ago, and I watched it, and I just thought, there's no way I would do that. It's not like money. But that's what they do every day. These people are mad. Because like my place, you wouldn't get any sort of vehicle in to get up these big trees, so you got to climb them, or use something to get a rope over.
I thought it'd be chop the bottom and let it fall with it.
Yeah, but that's messy.
Yeah, it's messy when it lands on your house.
Lots of if it ends up on the house.
So you haven't found this one at Mount Gambier then? This
I've DNF'd it.
Yeah, we did another DNF this weekend. I'm sure.
We just said 20 meters too short.
Looked on the ground, it hasn't fallen off again.
Shook the tree.
Shook the tree.
Nothing fell
out of the tree.
Well, if he hasn't replaced it, then you have to help him replace it. So let me sign it before you put it back.
He lives at Portland, so he's a fair way away.
Not that far away. That's not.
Yeah.
It's reasonably close, but
that's. Yeah.
Is there any caches in Victoria from... What's it like? I haven't looked over the border into...
There's no events.
There's nothing. And there's nothing much around Nelson, because all those big little event ones that he put out, they've all died, haven't they?
I don't know. I've never been there in my life. So.
To Nelson?
No.
Yeah, he had... There was about 100 caches that he put out for that event that he had around the Nelson area. But
I'm sure there's still some there I haven't found. Yeah.
Ben's coming.